You found it. The best place for live, local, conservative talk in the morning. The Commute with Carlson. Stimulating, entertaining, and making a difference. Here's John Carlson on Talk Radio 570 KVI.
Oh, I love this headline in the Daily Beast, which Newsweek, which is a supporter, of course, of the administration, big-time Obama fans. Here's the headline. Syrian opposition against new Kerry Lavrov plan to avoid strike. What at first seemed like a gaffe by the Secretary of State, that Assad could escape a U.S. strike by handing over his chemical weapons, became U.S. policy by Monday afternoon. But Syria's opposition is against it. Yeah, of course the opposition, the rebels, are against it. They wanted the United States in the war to knock down Assad so they could take over the country because they're losing the civil war to him. But I love this new Kerry Lavrov plan. Lavrov is a reference to the Soviet, or excuse me, Soviet, the Russian foreign minister, his counterpart in the Kremlin. And it's not the Kerry Lavrov plan. Okay, this was the Kerry gaffe that Russia jumped on to re-scramble the equation and keep Bashar Assad in power without being subject to a military strike, which protects Russia's interests. I mean, this is just a complete wiping of the floor with Obama by Putin. Anyway, speaking of the president, not once but twice in his half dozen network news interviews yesterday, the president invokes President Ronald Reagan, who, of course, had a proactive policy toward what was then the Soviet Union. And his policy prevailed. And eventually the Soviet Union became no more. President Obama used it when he was talking to Savannah Guthrie from NBC. She asked him about the Russians saying that Syria would be willing to give up their chemical weapons.
Does it seem like a stalling tactic?
I think a famous American president once said, trust but verify. You have to take it with a grain of salt initially, but between the statements that we saw from the Russians, the statement today from the Syrians, this represents a potentially positive development, and my preference consistently has been a diplomatic resolution to this problem.
You know, you get the feeling if I was a political cartoonist, I would show, you know, Putin gliding along on a racing bike and Barack Obama in the distance furiously pedaling a tricycle, you know, trying to catch up with him. Because he's clearly here playing catch up. You notice he refers to Ronald Reagan without mentioning Reagan. Here's a second reference when he was talking to, I think it was Chris Wallace, wasn't it, on Fox?
The Russians say they're going to push Syria to put chemical weapons under international control. The Syrian foreign minister says he welcomes that. Will you delay a strike to see how that plays out?
I think it's fair to say that we would not be at this point without a credible threat of a military strike, but I welcome the possibility of the development. I think we should explore and exhaust all avenues of diplomatic resolution of this, but I think it's important for us to keep the pressure on and to quote, or to paraphrase at least, former U.S. President, Ronald Reagan, it's not enough just to trust. I think we're going to have to verify.
So here's my question. If this is such a good idea in the eyes of the administration, why didn't they float it? Why wasn't... Now, here's a proactive leader. The president is told that Bashar Assad is accused of using chemical weapons, and that demands a response. And a lot of people noted that the president had said that crossing that line would be inviting a U.S. military response. What are we to do? Now, a proactive foreign policy would say, well, it's very simple. We said, if you use chemical weapons, we're coming after you. So we're coming after them unless they surrender their chemical weapons, because that's the only way we know they'll never be used again. So you give an ultimatum to Bashar Assad. You give up, you relinquish your use of chemical weapons. You give up your chemical supplies, your stockpiles. International authorities will be vested with the authority to make sure that happens credibly. And if you don't, I am asking Congress to authorize a military strike. So that puts the issue directly in front of the nation. And yet they didn't do that. And it was very obvious that John Kerry was not floating this idea. This was John Kerry bumbling again, like he always does. It's amazing this guy got the job of Secretary of State. Let's rewind again. Look how difficult it was for the president to acknowledge President Reagan here.
To quote, or to paraphrase at least, former U.S. president, Ronald Reagan.
Trust but verify. Yes, he had to say something nice about Ronald Reagan, the president whose legacy he is committed to trying to stop and overthrow. So this is where we find ourselves. I love the headline on the Drudge Report. The Drudge Report says that Obama revises address to the United States. Yeah, I bet it's a New York Times piece. I bet he's revising it. He's got a whole new reality in the last 24 hours. And like I said earlier in the show, I think there's a very good chance there won't even be a congressional vote. Why would you authorize military force against Syria to prevent chemical weapons from ever being used again if they're offering to give up their chemical weapons? See, this is driving some people nuts, because the chemical weapons, that was a predicate. That wasn't the reason. That was the excuse to bomb Syria. The end game was helping the rebels. And, you know, the same rebels who we were probably funneling arms to from Benghazi a year ago, which explains why we had, you know, all the CIA personnel on the ground there. We were probably funneling weapons to favored rebel militias. And that may have had something to do with the attack. Maybe, maybe not. There was also allegations, you know, that some Al-Qaeda leaders had been taken out by drone. And that called for, you know, a pound of flesh in return, what the attack was all about. But be that as it may, even though we haven't said it, we've had, as a quiet aspect of our foreign policy, trying to take out Assad. Now, it's very interesting. This is yet another example where the administration completely flip-flopped. When the administration came into power, do you remember Hillary Clinton referring to Assad as a reformer? I do. Do you remember the administration opening up diplomatic channels? I do. Do you remember Barack Obama using, you know, words of carefully constructed compliments toward Assad? Do you remember Assad sitting down with Nancy Pelosi? Do you remember him sitting down to dinner with John Kerry and Mrs. Kerry? I do. I remember all these things. They liked Syria 4 years ago. They were courting Syria 4 years ago. And then, within a couple of years, Bashar Assad disappointed them. So they decided he had to go. And you heard President Obama say, do you remember him saying that Syria would be better off without Assad? I do. He completely flip-flopped on Assad in Syria. So that's why I believe we probably were funneling weapons to some of the rebels. Now, the problem with the rebels is that their forces don't include not just a few, but include a lot of jihadis, Mujahideen, Islamic warriors, Al-Qaeda, Al-Nusra, which is basically Al-Qaeda in Syria, and the Muslim Brotherhood. Why would you want to empower those guys? And the answer is always, well, we're not giving the weapons to them. We're giving them to the democratic elements, the more moderate elements. Yeah, but what happens when the war ends and Bashar Assad loses and the better organized, the more committed, the more heavily armed extremists, as we call them, end up taking control of the country? Because after all, they are better armed, better organized, more focused, more impassioned, and more committed. Well, then we end up with a real potential nightmare in Syria. So, quite frankly, I had rather sardonically suggested that if we were going to bomb Syria, let's at least bomb both sides because they're both bastards. And they're both bad guys. We don't like either side and neither side likes us. And the United States does not come out ahead with either. However, at least with Assad, you know, he might be evil, but he's not stupid. And he's not fanatical. He's not going to, you know, do some kind of a, he's not going to use his power for some sort of a suicide mission. He's not going to, blunder into anything needlessly. I'll give you an example. Have you noticed how it's been more than 30 years since his old man was in power, since they took a run at Israel? They know better. Now, they have been hosting anti-Israeli terrorists, Hezbollah, but four times this year, Israel has sent planes in to bomb Syria. Okay? Israel announced that it would not tolerate Bashar Assad trying to get advanced weaponry to Hezbollah. And Assad just couldn't help himself. Remember, his major ally is Iran, which is the bankroller of the Hezbollah terror organization. And so he went ahead and helped get them the weapons, which Israel promptly destroyed. Now, you didn't hear any speeches from Bibi Netanyahu. You didn't see any press release coming out of the Israeli Foreign Ministry. They just struck them. And then when they were asked about it later, they wouldn't even admit that they'd done it. They didn't deny it. But Israel just said, you know, we just had a message to send. So we sent it. So they understood that Assad and his allies acknowledge and respect the use of power. And that's why they took the action they did. The United States, you know, we're focused more on imagery and more on looking tough and talking tough and sound bites and all that and speeches. That's one thing. Speeches. The president is endlessly giving speeches. No one cares what you say in the Middle East. They care what you do. And then when John Kerry blunders into that remark about giving up chemical weapons, they say, boy, there's our green light to avoid even the possibility now of an attack. Plus, it makes not only strengthens Assad and keeps him there, but unbelievably, it makes Vladimir Putin look like a peacemaker. Russia wins on all sides. Syria wins at least a short-term victory. Don't have to worry about an American invasion. Don't have to worry about further American assistance, at least overt assistance, to the rebels. And the administration is stuck. They've had to abandon their military strike option. They're probably going to abandon a congressional vote. And instead, they're forced to try and save face by saying, well, this is a positive move forward, but we will insist on verification.